Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense's Military Health System. So, Mark, I have the pleasure of talking to many of my guests about collaboration and partnerships between the agencies, federal, state, local, and public sector to achieve mission results. Would you tell us a little bit about how you're leveraging partnerships or collaborating with others, and how can collaboration or partnerships enhance innovation?
Sure. I think as we talk and we look at some of the things that we're doing with the FDA, mm-hmm. right, with NIST and some of the panels I've been on with, Todd Park and Farzad, right? So there's a lot of, again, when we look at the big plan and the big things we're doing, when we start shrinking that down and we look at healthcare, then we look at our space a little bit smaller, right, that finite differences are really that, finite differences. So what I can gain from compliance of FDA-controlled devices and machines into an operational area that I have, or how does that fit onto the network when we look at IA controls, I really look to some of the FDA and some of the NIST to help inform what we need to do for our transformation. So that collaboration, both ways, really helps us out as an organization, as a whole, as an industry as a whole. And lessons learned from, the Cleveland Clinics, the Johns Hopkins, the George Washingtons, Baylor, and some of the things that we do with the other partners out there for, like I said, research products, which allows us to have better, right, like questions answered for us to help us to be more innovative and collaborative in what we look at for our trade space. Again, if the question is going to be answered, then I don't need to spend my time on that. I can look at another question that's being posed by another area and really figure out which way to put it to the right expertise if we can't answer that internally. So that's really a lot of our roles, and that's a big thing with the high tide. It allows us to meet a lot of those groups or individuals or organizations in which we have that kind of shared space of maybe problems or innovations or something we want to get answered, right? So we have a more transparency on sharing a lot of the information that we have. And then some joint labbing. So we can look at, I have the kind of same thing. Could we look at sharing some of our dev test environments to allow us to look at a closer, technical collaboration of that? So that's all, coming to fruition or in process now. There are some pieces that still need to be worked out, mostly paperwork, go figure. But, that's the nature of the beast. But those really are, those transformational elements really help us, again, work with our partners and work with those people in our academia that really help us do healthcare, not only great today, but better tomorrow.
So given the critical importance technology plays in mission and program delivery, what about the role of the chief technologist? How will it continue to evolve? And could you give us a sense of some of the important characteristics of a successful CTO?
Okay. So I think as we live in the information world, I don't see the CTO's role slowing down at all. Mm-hmm. I think orchestrating a lot of those and putting those bridges between our consumers, customers, both internal and external, to the technologists who drive that, I really see the bridge being more and more transparent as we grow a younger generation who's more technically inclined, that the challenges they'll want for information instantly will really drive the way that we kind of deploy technology, look at data, and look at the transformation of that data. So I see the role becoming, hopefully, in a more standardized approach, a more common, right? So we really have to get common on common, right? Standard on standards. So we have a better exchange through known avenues. And I think from the technologist and from a CTO, really putting out that city planning, the visualization of that, ensuring that you have all the characters, roles, and actors in place, and that you sequence that, right? So I think you got to be part architect, part engineer, but really the biggest part is really knowing the space that you're in. Because, again, you wouldn't be meaningful and useful unless you actually knew, what you're in. And so, again, the benefit I had growing up, my whole adult life being in health care and then healthcare IT, I tend to know my space pretty well. Mm-hmm. At least I think I do. But that is really, the transformation of a lot of CTOs, that find a career that you love, right? Not a job, a career that you love, and then turn it into a job, right? So that you're passionate about it, because passion will drive you a lot of times to stay those extra hours to do this, that, and the other, to really humble yourself to say, I've got it pretty good. I go home tonight, right? I could be the guy out there, you know, stand the watch who's 2,000 miles away from his family, who doesn't have that luxury. So, you know, dig a little bit internal to really, you know, lean forward a little bit more. And I think if you're passionate about what you do, you're going to be very successful in whatever you do, whether you're a CTO or not, and have the ability to understand, communicate, and really evolve and know when wrong's wrong and be able to admit that, right? So, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes, but that's a natural evolution in a very dynamic, changing environment that we are in. IT and IT delivery and healthcare, new challenges come at you daily, and really you have to, you know, take a step back, look at the evidence, and make a practical approach for recommendations for our senior leaders to go forward with to meet the mission.
Well, speaking about knowing your space and going forward, I'd like you to put your sort of futuristic hat on and give us a sense of some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you think it will evolve to meet them?
So I think from the opportunities when we look at large information delivery mechanism that we do so much with outside, 60% of our care is done with outside. We've taken some steps on that to look at putting our health data dictionary right out into an open source so that other people can gain the knowledge that we have from our years of service and our mappings. So we have a semantic data model, right? It's got 2.5 million mappings, right? Some of those things that you wouldn't normally see inside a civilian sector, but we see in the military. So I think when we look at, I'm going to say data evolution revolution that you're going to see here in the next couple of years, right, as we get more and more connected as a whole, as a globe, we look at that and some of our operations that we've done from humanitarian assistance for tsunamis and earthquakes and stuff like that. Whether you're there, you're here, human beings are human beings, the data and the care delivered to them are no different than data and the care delivered to our people internally. So when we look at that data transformation, it's as important there as it is here. And so how we take care of those people and then how we capture that data, then how to make use of that data, I think is the major evolution we'll see here, is the data transformation as we go forward will be one of the biggest freedom unlatching that we have. And in my personal opinion, having that data model allows us to reduce potentially redundant procedures and or have a patient come back because we didn't have that data, right? So when we look at quality of care and access to care, that having that data increases both of those. And so that's what I see in the major. It'll be, I think, the platform as a service and some of the software as a service with the mobile technology will help. But if you don't have the data right, and those things will not help, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it all starts with the data and data evolution, and we're doing a lot of work inside not only the MHS but with the IPO mm-hmm. about some of that data revolution and evolution as we go forward.
Well, as we close today, I'd like to get some advice. So what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
I would say, again, find out what you're passionate about. If it's in public service or private service, but if it's in public service, I love coming to work every day because, you know, we get to really, as a custodian of the people, right, and what we get to do for our jobs, I love representing the people out there in my public service. And I think it's no doubt the best job I've ever had. I couldn't think of anything more. But if you think the same way, right, research what you really want to do, look at your career path in the future, and figure out if you're passionate about the space that you want to get into in the public sector or the private sector, but really have the passion to do that. And then study, and then I think mentor. Mentorship seems to be, unfortunately, a thing of the past for a lot of areas and activities, but I think you can gain only so much from a textbook mm-hmm. and from a classroom. But when it comes to the practical applied, right, education to an operation, there is no. That's the space that you really, having those two, I think is a good mix on that. So when we look at like on-the-job training, mm-hmm. when you look at that in the public sector, we do a lot of stuff with sponsoring people from college into that. So they have that mix of applied practical education with real-world experience to bring those together. I think that's what it is. I had a guy work for me. He volunteered for 6 months. to learn about IT, and he made a major difference, and he's still with us today, and he loves it, and he's grown all the way up. So I mean, it just couldn't be better. And so I think that's great, and a lot of people that had worked for me are still in this space today, or have branched out to the outside, but still remember what we've done here and what our missions were and the challenges and stuff. So I mean, it's really good that we still are communication, and that they love what they did when they worked for us and worked for the MHS, and what they do tomorrow when they're working for their new company.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today, but more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Mark Googe, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense's Military Health System. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.